It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
New Fox News poll released this hour shows the president's troubles weighing on him, even if slightly. His approval rating slipping a point from July to now 45%. His disapproval ratings rising to 53%. And after his former personal attorney dropped a very large dime on him yesterday, there is a lot of uncertainty about where things are headed next.
In his first interview since Michael Cohen accused him of committing a crime, President Trump insisted there was no campaign finance violation associated with hush payments to two women because the funds used to pay them off came from him.
Did they come out of the campaign? They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it.
The White House today insisted that the president is innocent of any wrongdoing.
What I can tell you is what the president has stated a number of times. He did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him. Just because Michael Cohen has made a deal doesn't mean anything with regards to the president.
In the plea agreement, prosecutors claim President Trump directed Cohen to make payments to Stormy Daniels and ex-Playboy model Karen McDougal. President Trump said again today he only learned of the payments after they were made.
Later on, I knew. Later on.
The president's outside attorneys are painting Cohen as a liar, saying he was on record many times saying President Trump knew nothing about the payments. Yet in a recording Cohen made in the summer of 2016, the president is heard discussing a possible payment to McDougal.
I spoke to Alan about it when it comes time for the financing, which will be...
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to...
Washington is abuzz with talk that the president is exposed to some type of liability. Democrats and Republicans debating whether he should, even could, be indicted.
Every single remedy, including indictment of the president, should be on the table.
I don't think he can be indicted while sitting in office, but we'll just have to see where this all works out.
So that was John Roberts yesterday on Fox. And if you want to get discouraged, listen to John Roberts on Fox. John is not a fan of the president. And his reports, I think he just rivals Shepard Smith. Maybe they have lunch together. I'm not sure. But, you know, I have to say, Fox, look, I'm not saying that some of the things John reported, most of them are not true. It's the way you say them. At the top of the show, we heard about this Fox News report that talked about the president's approval ratings. And when you broke it down, they said that people were, I forgot exactly how they worded it because I heard it with you. It was something like people are, the concern about securing the borders was way down the list of concerns among voters. And that tells me right there that there's a problem with that poll. There's a problem with that poll because that is just not true. There are countless polls to show that Americans are very concerned about immigration and borders right now for many reasons, and we'll get actually to some of that a little bit later. But I'm just saying it's the way things are said and the way they're presented. John had a series of interviews with various senators. Cory Booker is calling the president an unindicted co-conspirator. I mean, the rhetoric is ramping up in a way that you can't believe. And John is, of course, repeating it happily. And this is the way it goes. Gary Bauer put it pretty well in his anyway, it's his report, the Bauer report, end of the day report. He says big media is in full lynch mob mode, and so they are. And, of course, a lot of this centers around these payments to these two, one Playboy model and one porn star, over allegations that happened 10 years ago, and payments were made to them. None of this is a proud moment, that's for sure. But these are situations that the women are alleging took place at least 10 years ago, and they were extorting the president. They were threatening him to come public if he didn't pay. So this is really the criminal activity is on the part of the women. And secondly, it is not a campaign violation for the president, the sitting president, to or a candidate to pay some sort of money to stop someone from disgracing him, hurting his family, hurting his wife. That's not illegal, even in the course of a campaign cycle, if he uses his own money. It's like they're trying to talk about this being a campaign violation. It's as though, you know, there is nothing, there's no violation about a candidate spending money on themselves. What are they going to do, buy influence with themselves? If he, you know, helps himself and favors himself with a campaign donation, is he going to, you know, be more likely to do things that he wants to do? You know, it's just, it's really ridiculous. And if you don't believe me on that, Alan Dershowitz, who was, of course, a longtime Harvard law professor, he's very liberal. He was totally all about Hillary Clinton during the Clinton years. He did a long interview with Brett Baer last night, and this just a little touch of it. This is clip 8.
If he had written a letter to these two women saying, you're going to help, you're going to hurt me in my campaign, I'm going to pay you $150,000, $130,000 to help me get elected president, and you have to keep it quiet. It's hush money. No crime. I challenge any of those who are saying it's a crime to find me anything in the criminal law that would make it a crime for a president personally or a candidate personally to pay in order to save his own election.
The other part of this is my understanding is with Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, who did some really terrible things as an attorney. Can you imagine if you went to your attorney and they were recording you when you're pouring your heart out, whether it's maybe a divorce or child custody or something very personal, and you sort of feel like they're your pastor in the sense of confidentiality. And so Michael Cohen actually also sold some of that information he got from Trump to companies and presented himself, you know, as an insider, which he was. I mean, it was a pretty bad betrayal of the president. Now, look, do I think it's a wonderful thing that President Trump paid off two women with his personal money so that they wouldn't talk before the campaign? No, these are the things that we do come back to haunt us. We don't know that he did anything. We know they alleged it. We know his past, so it's not hard to believe that he might have been involved with these women. It's not, you know, and so. But it is not a criminal act. And we also know that the prosecutor, Bob Mueller, and the team added this charge to Cohen's. You have to understand, Michael Cohen was charged with, 8 counts, something like that. But he pleaded guilty, so they're never going to be tried in court. And it's certainly in that case, it's not a crime. And it will never be vetted in a court of law. It will never be tried so that no one will ever officially say, you can't charge someone with that. That's not a crime. But the left is leaping to the conclusion that because the prosecution lists this as a crime, they can't just declare something a crime that isn't statutorily a crime, but they listed on these lists of things against Michael Cohen, and he pleads guilty, and then they never adjudicate it. So it just hangs there as though it's really true. This is really probably one of the most interesting articles I've read in the past 24 hours on this. And it's written by a person who worked with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton for years. Mark Penn used to be on television all the time. He is the one who runs Harris Poll, and he was very close to the Clintons, and that's why this is pretty stunning. And it also came out in The Hill, which is not, trust me, not a conservative publication. It's a very well-known in Washington, D.C. It's Mark Penn. And here's what he says. Here we go from Russia with love to campaign finance with love. Why was Michael Cohen investigated? Because the Steele dossier had him making secret trips to meet with Russians that never happened. So his business dealings got a thorough scrubbing, and in the process, he fell into the special counsel's Manafort bin, the bin reserved for squeezing until the juice comes out. And now we are back to 1998 all over again with presidents and presidential candidates covering up their alleged marital misdeeds and prosecutors trying to turn legal acts into illegal ones by inventing new crimes. The plot to get President Trump out of office thickens as Cohen obviously was his own mini-crime syndicate and decided that his betrayals of Trump meant he would be better served turning on his old boss to cut the best deal with prosecutors he could rather than holding out and getting the full Manafort treatment. That was clear the minute he hired attorney Lanny Davis. By the way, Lanny Davis is at the center of so much of this. Unlike Mark Penn, Lanny Davis is still very close to the Clinton family and was one of their biggest liars. Honestly, he was the consummate liar before we ever saw the left lie the way they do now. Lanny is very good, very, very good. And he was hired as Michael Cohen's attorney. Go figure. How did that happen? Okay, so Lanny Davis, who doesn't try cases and did past work for Hillary Clinton, understatement. That's me talking. Cohen had recorded his client trying to entrap him. He sold information about Trump while acting as his lawyer to corporations for millions of dollars, and he didn't pay taxes on millions. The sweetener for the prosecutors, of course, was getting Cohen to plead guilty to campaign violations that were not campaign violations. Money paid to people who come out of the woodwork and shake down people under threat of revealing bad sexual stories are not legitimate campaign expenditures. They are personal expenditures. He goes on to talk about this a great deal more. He talks about John Edwards, who was charged with this same violation. Remember the mistress he had? He had her with him on the campaign trail. She was pregnant. They tried to charge John with the same thing in 2012. And Gregory Craig, a lawyer who worked for both President Clinton and John Edwards, said the government's theory is wrong in the facts and wrong in the law. It is novel and untested. There's no civil or criminal precedent for such prosecution. So that's the precedent for that, but the prosecutors for Cohen, of course, didn't mention that case. But if it had gone to trial, it would have come out. There's no way that there would be any charge for a non-crime. So let me just read this contrast. He talks about, again, I'm reading from Mark Penn in The Hill. We're going to put this on our Facebook page because it really is a great article. It's thick with information. He says, he talks about the inequitable treatment. He talks about how the Clinton campaign and the DNC spent tons of money to buy the Steele dossier, to pay for it. That was a campaign contribution, and yet it was never recorded as such. So the inequities are loom large in this particular situation. I do think it's a dangerous thing for the president because the jackals are out and they are imprinting in people's minds things that are not true. And, of course, the taint is there. This is what happens. They just make the taint. They make the allegations, and it sticks and people get destroyed. And I'm thinking, we're going to come back to the president in a second, but I want to mention this other story. Oh, do I have time? Maybe we'll play the clip a little bit later, but I told you yesterday that Congressman Duncan Hunter, who's one of the strongest allies of the president, he was one of the first in the House of Representatives just this same day, was charged with fraud and campaign finance charge. He and his wife, Margaret, for misusing funds, which, again, I'm not saying they didn't misuse funds. I don't know. But the timing is just pretty amazing, and the fact that Duncan Hunter Jr. is such a strong advocate of the president. This much I remember about Congressman Hunter, because I knew his dad well and used to interview him frequently. I remember how proud his father was of him, that he left a high-powered job. As soon as 9/11 happened, he took off his coat, walked across the street, and signed up. And I think he did a couple of tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm not sure exactly where, but several times. He was a war hero, and he came back to take his dad's seat. So that's who Duncan Hunter is. That doesn't make him innocent at this stuff, but I would just like to contrast the charges to him to the charges against Imran Iwan. Who's Imran Iwan? He and his family, his brother, were hired as the ITT coordinators for Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the House of Representatives. They were paid far more than any other computer technicians. They ended up being thrown out because they were sharing data and they were invading computers, getting access to Intelligence Committee and all kinds of data and information. They fled to Pakistan, but the judge just now, in this past 2 days, gave Imran Iwan no jail time and said he had suffered enough. So this is what we're talking about, the inequities between people who are conservative or who have ties to the president and people who have ties to the left. A very different criminal justice system right now. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman, too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Lawmakers in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts are embroiled in a debate about gender. A proposed bill would have placed a third gender option on Massachusetts driver's licenses. But the legislation was derailed thanks in part to the efforts of Republican Representative Jim Lyons. Mr. Lyons, who is a conservative, forced a vote on the 73 gender options available on Facebook. His point being, if you add a transgender option to the driver's license, well, you also have to add the 73 genders recognized by Facebook, all things being equal, of course. Under the rules of the State House, lawmakers would have been forced to allow for 10 minutes of debate on each of the 73 amendments, basically running out the clock. But it does raise an interesting question. If an accommodation can be made for transgender drivers, what about gender-neutral drivers or gender-variant drivers or cisgender drivers? I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Did you know about the payments?
Later on, I knew. Later on. But you have to understand, Ainsley, what he did, and they weren't taken out of campaign finance. That's a big thing.
The donations given to keep quiet two women, which Mr. Trump wasn't willing to sign those checks himself. He directed Mr. Cohen to make those hush money payments, is a federal crime.
Just because Michael Cohen made a plea deal doesn't mean that implicates the president on anything.
Okay, so there you go. That was Lanny Davis in the middle. It's a federal crime. Of course, he has a vested interest in this. He is. I just don't even know how in the world he became Michael Cohen's attorney. How did that happen? Michael Cohen is the attorney, at least is an attorney for President Trump. And then there's trouble. And the first person Michael Cohen goes to is Lanny Davis, who is so tied to the Clinton family, who is notably lacks integrity and honesty, and is notably not going to be apolitical in this. He's got an agenda. So I just think that's interesting. You know, there's so much to tell you today. And I want to do we've gotten so many really great Facebook and posts and also email, and I want to stop and do some of those, and then we're going to open the phone lines. So that's the plan. There's lots of news to talk about, but we can talk about that in the course of our just exchanging conversation. First of all, I want to read this one. This is from Ryan on Facebook. He says, is something wrong with Sandy's voice? Sure hope she's okay. I hear slurring. Ryan, I know you got an answer already on Facebook, but I just have to say to people listening, I've been sort of trying to explain that for the last more than a week. In short form, I had a biking accident 2 years ago, and I had a lot of breaks in my face, and I also lost my two front teeth. And so I was in the process of trying to get those teeth fixed finally. And so I had I had no two front teeth, and there was no way to fix it, at least for a week. But can you hear a difference this morning? This morning, I'm really operating, hopefully, on all cylinders. And so thank you for your concern. And now I can talk clearly. And now all my guests that I have to every day explain to them off the air, you know, why I sound so strangely so that the, you know, people don't think I'm falling apart. I'm not falling apart yet. I am losing some parts, but they're being repaired. So, all right, so that's that. And also then on the Facebook issue, we've talked about how Facebook is limiting the reach of conservatives, however they're doing that. And we've fallen prey to that too. But Susan writes and says that she has marked on her Facebook post, see first. She's marked our Facebook page, see first. Joy says the same thing and others too. And now they're getting our articles in their feed. So just if you know how to do that, go into Facebook and mark our website, our Facebook page as see first, Sandy Rios in the Morning. And hopefully that will solve that problem. And if you don't know how to do that, then just go to our Facebook page every day and you'll get to hear these, see these articles that we post. Adam, you might want to check the equipment here again. We're having some problems this morning. Speaking of articles, the Mark Penn article from The Hill on our Facebook page because it's so, so very strong. And it's there's more to it than I could actually read to you this morning. Let me get into a few other email that are funny. I think they're funny anyway. So I thought we should have a little bit of fun before we get into the meat of this. This is from Kelly. Kelly says, I enjoy your show so much. It's my favorite. I discovered you about a year and a half ago. I download your show on our station here in Kansas because the station doesn't play it. Anyway, you are, all right, this nice things here. She says, you're such a class act and very funny. Now, let me just interject here. This may surprise you. She thinks I'm very funny, and I'll read to you why she says that. I love it when you are on Today's Issues and tell funny stories like when you moved using a shopping cart and when you told about visiting your son in Scotland and encouraged the guys on Today's Issues to wear kilts. Love your sense of humor. I truly loved and appreciated so much how you stood by Judge Roy Moore when so many jumped ship. So she says, here in Kansas, many of us are rejoicing that Kris Kobach won the Republican race for governor. Thank you, Sandy, for all your hard work and et cetera. Very, very kind, Kelly. But here's the part I wanted to talk about. You know, I actually used to be very funny. When I was on the air in Chicago for 10 years drive time for three hours, we laughed. We did so many fun things. But it's hard for me to be funny by myself in an hour when there's so much news. So most of you are probably surprised. You think, she's funny? She's not funny. She gives us all this, you know, very serious news every morning, and she's really not funny. But actually, I guess if you want to hear me be funny, tune in Tuesdays to Today's Issues. That's in the morning about 10:30 Central Standard Time, 11:30 Eastern Standard. And when I'm talking with Tim and Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard and Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Yes, I can be funny. It frees me up to tell stories, and it would be. I wish we could laugh more. I really do. I need more laughter, and I'm sure you do too. But please understand, I'm sure you do, that there's so much news, and I feel like my responsibility is to stay focused on that, and not take up our valuable air real estate, you know, joking with you or telling you stories about things that I've done, which could be pretty funny, like falling off my bike and breaking my teeth off. But this is from Joy. Joy says the same thing about Facebook. So see first is how they suggest you list it so that you can get the articles in your feed. This is from Anthony. Anthony says, I'm sorry, but your guest this morning was one of the most boring guests to listen to you've ever had on your program. Anthony, I'm not going to say which I think I know, but I am not. I am not going to say who I think that was, but I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty. Yes, you know, I have the privilege of knowing a lot of really wonderful, fascinating people, but sometimes they're not great communicators. So anyway, that's the way it goes. And Anthony goes on to say, I'm going to miss not being able to listen to you each morning now that school has started. It looks like Anthony is a professor somewhere in North Dakota. And so he's very kind. He says, you're the best source of information to keep us aware of what's going on in our government. So, Anthony, thank you so much. And, be safe going back to school. It's not always safe these days. This is from Laura. She said, good morning. I'm Catholic and very much enjoy your show. Thank you for speaking about the horrific abuses in the church. And then she shared with me an article about a bishop who's speaking out. We talked about bishops and priests and cardinals covering up and not having that godly sorrow over the story out of Pennsylvania and, worldwide, really. And so she sent an article, Bishop Morlino Condemns Homosexual Subculture in the Hierarchy. We didn't even really get into this. You know, there is a subculture, as I understand it, of these older priests, you know, abusing seminary students. And then it just sort of spreads like wildfire. These guys are, you know, they take a vow of celibacy. And so they are easy prey. And so it has perpetuated itself and it's become epidemic in proportions. And I think, honestly, if they were to ask my opinion, which they won't, I would say they're just going to have to purge and use lay people to lead churches until they can reinstate men who really do love God and are serious about serving him and are able to remain celibate. So so thank you for that, Laura, and thank you so much for taking the time to write. What else before I go? Okay, I will go to this one. This is from, what is his name? Oh, this is from Mark. Mark is not a fan, but he listens. So Mark, I'm glad you're listening. And he titles it, Keep Spinning. What a news day indeed. He's referring to yesterday, because I think I started the show saying it was a pretty wretched 24-hour news cycle. I'm glad you at least acknowledge that yesterday was a bad day for Trump supporters. Still, I am absolutely stunned how a self-proclaimed Christian woman like yourself can go out of her way to defend these people. In your show this morning, you said that Cohen and Manafort are not, quote, not flawless people. Not flawless? Sandy, these people are hardened criminals. Manafort was convicted of 8 felonies. Cohen pled guilty to 8 felonies. Not 1 or 2, but 8. There's just no way, I think he means to say, to spin this. And to make it worse, Cohen implicated the president under oath with tapes and other evidence to back it up. The noose is tightening around Trump's neck, and he knows it. You know it, which is why he has been sweating for a year now. His actions clearly do not represent those of an innocent man. Trump surrounds himself with crooks because he is a crook himself, and you endorsed a crook, and you'll have to live with that for the rest of your life. These are real criminal charges stemming from real criminal investigation. You know, Mark, there's a lot more to say. He actually goes down and says, now the Washington Post is reporting that Cohen has also has knowledge of Trump's role in criminal conspiracy to hack Democratic emails. It gets worse by the day. When is enough enough for you? You know, Mark, there probably will be a day when enough is enough, but maybe not in the same way that you think. I want to just, first of all, respond by, you know, the title of your email is Keep Spinning. And I think one big difference in the way you and I think is you think that I'm spinning, which means basically I'm like taking the facts and molding them to what I believe, which some of us do inherently without even knowing it. So that's true. But intentionally leaving things out and trying to mislead people. That's what spin is, trying to create a narrative. And I assure you, I don't do that, Mark. My parents would have beaten me to a pulp if I ever lied about anything. Truth was very important in our home. And as I became a serious follower of Christ, even more so personally, because our God is a God of truth. So I'm committed to the truth, and it doesn't, I think you think, you know, if you just catch me in something that, you know, I'll have to like confess that I've been, you know, misleading people. But really, honestly, Mark, I'm telling you what I believe is true. So it doesn't, I'm not worried. I'm not threatened by, I'm not worried that at some point, you know, what I say is going to fall apart because I've been stringing things together to mislead. So I just want to get that straight with you. I think one of the big differences in the way you view things and the way I view things is that you take your information from very different sources than I do. I mean, I certainly read the news like you do and watch the news like you do. We maybe watch different things. But I also know people in Washington that are close to the heart of the matter. So I have other information that most people don't have, or at least not the average person has. So I think that this, okay, so to just come back to this particular issue, I think this is very serious, but not not in the way you do. I think it's very serious because the media and the left just salivates. I think they are salivating, and I think they're getting out over their shoes. I think, you know, even when you report here that the Washington Post is reporting that Cohen also has knowledge of Trump's role in a criminal conspiracy to hack Democratic emails, well, if that's true, then that's very damning. But you do know that Jeff Bezos, who hates the president, owns the Washington Post. And you do know that the Washington Post is not known, at least not in this last decade or so, for their veracity. They have been complicit with trying to destroy and talk about spinning information about the president, along with CNN. They are just not trustworthy sources right now. And you talk about it as though it's all truth, and I don't trust them. I don't believe them. I told you at the top of the show today, I don't trust Fox's poll on the president and on what people think about borders and immigration. I don't trust it because I know the forces that run, that are the money power brokers behind Fox, are big business open borders people. So, and so is the Wall Street Journal, which is owned by Fox. And they, a lot of, I don't know if that poll was, often it's a Fox Wall Street Journal poll. They have a bias. So this is what I think you don't look at, is I think you don't consider the bias of the left. And when I talk about Manafort and Cohen not being flawless, the point I was trying to make was I'm not saying that these are perfect, these are flawless men, that they have not ever done anything or that the president hasn't. That's not my claim. The point that I was trying to make yesterday and even today too is that justice, that Lady Justice, has been applied very differently to conservatives, people who believe in conservative principles, as opposed to people on the left. You know, just look at the example of Mrs. Clinton. I don't know, Mark, if you were listening when I talked to the former, I think it was secretary or leader of the Senate from Haiti. We had one of the most emotional interviews I've ever conducted. And he talked about how the Clinton Foundation had really raped the natural resources of the people of Haiti right after all the disastrous storms and things that they had endured. He talked about how they sold, you know, all of the rights to the phone to Mrs. Clinton's brother. They talked about how, I've forgotten which member of the Clinton staff, but bought the mining interests, and how they raised tons, millions of dollars to allegedly help Haiti, but they didn't help Haiti. They left the people starving and living in squalor, and they enriched themselves. Now that, you know, that's just one thing, Mark. And you say, well, do I believe him? Yes, I do. I've talked to him more than once. He cried, and he's on the inside. He knows what's going on down there. So you talk about crimes. Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton are walking around with their heads held high, as far as I know, still making big money, you know, appearing various places. That to me is really criminal. And yet there's been no prosecution. That's just one thing. You could talk about the uranium scandal, too, and they walk free. And yet you see someone like Paul Manafort, who has a banking fraud and loan charges, which is usually like a white-collar crime, certainly doesn't cause a man to be held in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day or have his house raided by FBI agents in the early morning. It's the inequity. It is the inequity. All right, we'll open the phones. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When their mom passed, the Landau brothers of New Jersey had a garage sale to clear out their mom's house. But they decided to keep a few things, including mom's old creepy painting of a woman passed out in a chair and two men trying to revive her. Fast forward to their estate auction, and the brothers found themselves fielding bids from France and Germany for the painting. Turns out, it was a long-lost Rembrandt that ultimately sold for $1.1 million. A trained eye spots value where others don't.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Molly Tibbetts was a beautiful young co-ed who went out for an evening jog and never came back. She was murdered in cold blood and buried under leaves and stalks in a cornfield. The perpetrator is an illegal alien who had been living illegally in this country for up to 7 years. The blood of Molly Tibbetts cries out from the ground. God says that if a man sheds the blood of an innocent man, his own must be shed that justice may be done. Beyond that, her blood screams at us to secure our border with whatever it takes, including a wall, so that no more young, innocent Americans have to be cut down by murderers who do not even have the right to be in this country.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 855-PSALM-23 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Congressional Democrats are reportedly going to run this fall against alleged corruption on the part of Donald Trump and other Republicans. Inhabitants of glass houses shouldn't throw such stones. After all, one out of five members of the House Democratic Caucus employed the information technology services of a ring of Pakistani nationals that have engaged in illegal activities. Some of their staff and office expenditures have been implicated, and their official and personal communications compromised. Worse yet, the Pakistanis have ties to their government and presumably its intelligence service. Incredibly, this House IT scandal has been largely suppressed to this point, not only by the Democrats involved, but by the House GOP leadership, the Department of Justice, and most recently, an Obama-appointed federal judge. The ominous implications of this travesty will out, however. The question is when. Democrats' stonecasting should ensure it's before November's election. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Wearing striped prison garb and shackles, 24-year-old Christian Rivera was led into Powhatan County Court in Iowa this afternoon and charged with first-degree murder in the death of 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts.
Mr. Rivera, did you kill Molly Tibbetts?
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents say Rivera is from Mexico and has been in the United States illegally for 4 to 7 years. Police say Rivera confessed that on July 18th, he followed Molly Tibbetts during her nightly jog. He told investigators she pleaded with him to stop trailing her and said she was going to call police on her cell phone. Rivera then claims he blacked out. When he came to, Tibbetts was in his trunk with a bloody skull. Police say Rivera led them to a cornfield where they found what they believed to be Tibbetts' body. Rivera worked at Yarrabee Farms not far from where the body was found. A Yarrabee Farms spokesperson says Rivera worked there for 4 years, but today corrected their initial statement by saying they did not use the federal E-Verify system to screen Rivera, and he's not who they thought he was. In court, the defense claimed the case has become political and asked the judge to block the media, but was denied.
The government has weighed in at the highest levels of a predisposition that this young man, Christian, is guilty.
At a rally in West Virginia Tuesday, the president did weigh in on Tibbetts' murder.
You heard about today with the illegal alien coming in, very sadly, from Mexico, and you saw what happened to that incredible, beautiful young woman. Should have never happened. Illegally in our country, we've had a huge impact, but the laws are so bad. The immigration laws are such a disgrace.
Late today, a federal immigration spokesperson tells Fox News that Rivera never made a DACA request and there's no record he has immigration status. Tonight, Rivera is being held on a $5 million bond.
All right, so that was Matt Finn from Fox, and that's why you tell me that when they poll Americans, they're not concerned about immigration and borders? Are you kidding me? And so, of course, no candidate, hardly any candidates are making this an issue. It is an issue. It would be an issue that would bring in a wave of conservative candidates if only the Republican Party would allow them to use it as an issue. But the party leadership, they're not about that. No. They're more like the owner of the farm where the illegal immigrant was working. You know, Daniel Horowitz told us yesterday that he's an open borders promoter, the farm owner. The article I read said just the opposite. And one more thing. The New York Times, for instance, and Mark, this goes back to Mark from Virginia. This goes back to your challenge to me about I'm telling you we get different information because we look at different sources. The New York Times deleted the immigration status of this illegal immigrant in their headline. They changed it several times, and they ended up calling him just undocumented immigrants. They didn't even say that. They said immigrant is charged in Molly Tibbetts' murder. They changed it so that they did not say illegal. See, that's for a purpose. They're doing that. You talk about spinning. Now, that's what spinning is, and that's not what I do. I want to go to the phone lines. We're having it's going to be a little awkward this morning, so have patience. But I want to go first to Pete in South Carolina. We'll get him on there. Pete, are you there?
I'm here, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Cindy, good morning. Oh, I'm awesome. And, Cindy, thank you so much. I tell you, I'm a musician too. I'm a drummer. But you know, no matter how late I'm up, I have a joke. But you know, I got to get up to hear you in the morning. As soon as I hear your music and your voice, it's like my day is on a different trajectory, and it's awesome.
Thank you, Pete. That's sweet. Thank you.
Thank you. Honest to God, right? So look, the one thing we got to talk about more, the one thing missing, the big factor that we're not talking about when we talk about this whole thing. The story this morning with all the charges and this nonsense is the lack of response from the Republicans. The Republicans are silent. Everything you said at the end of the segment, everything you just said at the end of the segment, the last segment, every Republican should listen to that, memorize it, and they should be jumping up on their desk, lighting their pants on fire, and showing the same those exact words. The Republicans are silent. I'll tell you what, I was the chair of the Republican Party for Marlboro County, South Carolina in 2015. I did a lot of work. I had Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, in my house. I had people from other campaigns. I did a lot of meetings. And now I call out there to Columbia. They don't even answer the phone most of the time. I mean, I honestly think the Republican Party wants to lose this fall. I do. Their heart's not in it. They hate the party bosses and the top politicians in the party hate Trump. They hate him. They hate him as much as the Democrats. They want to see the Democrats win again for two reasons. They'll get the Democrats to do their dirty work for him. They'll get Trump out of office. And then they'll go out and start campaigning again. Send us money. We got to stop these Democrats. They'll do that. They'll do that. We got to change. The Republican Party needs a complete overhaul. And the people, everybody listening to the show, get your Republican People, your phone number is on your phone, and just every morning when you have something to do, when you have a minute, call them. Call your representatives. Call your Democrat representatives. Ask them, we want a wall. Tell them, we want a wall. We want a wall. We want a wall. Stop, you know, stop bringing these people in here, and no money for Planned Parenthood. Everybody should be calling all the time. And the Republican Party, I think, wants to lose deliberately this fall.
I don't disagree. You know, last night in John Roberts' report, it really stunned me. We didn't play the whole thing, but he played clips from Cory Booker and a couple of other Democratic, if not senators, operatives. He played one Republican. It was Orrin Hatch. And Orrin Hatch says, we'll have to see how this plays out. You know, we'll just have to see. That was his comment. And so you're right. It's a total vacuum, Pete. And did you hear me say yesterday? In the issue of Congressman Duncan Hunter being indicted right before the election of fraud and finance charges, did you hear me say yesterday that Paul Ryan immediately stripped him of all committee assignments?
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So exactly.
Yeah. So it's a mess, and that's why I harp on the importance of the primaries.
Make the calls.
Because the only way people who represent our interests and the interests of the American people can get elected is if good people come out in the primaries and vote for these candidates.
Primaries.
Yeah, exactly. So, God bless you for everything that you're doing. And listen, we're just fighting. We're just going to roll up our sleeves and fight. And if you're listening to me today, any of you, you may wonder, you can't do all of it, but you can do something. You can do something in your area. You can take Pete's advice about calling your congressman today. You can stop by their office. You can get involved in a campaign. You can donate. You can make phone calls for a good candidate. By the way, Arizona and Arizona and what's coming up next Tuesday? It's another big state. Two big races next Tuesday. Primaries, very important, and you can get involved in those. I'll think of the other one in just a minute. But you can get involved even if you don't live there. So that's my advice to you. Pete, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Let's go to Texas and talk to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How you doing, Sandy? Hadn't talked to you in a while.
I'm good. So what's on your mind this morning?
Oh, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. I love him to death. And I just wanted to add, he said, I voted for Trump, but some of the things he said, and I told him, I said, when's the last time you heard free speech in this country, man? What's going on with you? But anyway, I just wanted to make two comments, and I want to hear what you got to say about them. You know, I read my Old Testament pretty regular there. And in the Old Testament, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there two or three different kings that God used in a mighty way? Didn't even believe in him. He used them in a mighty way to protect his people. So I think that's a lot of what's going on now. So I'm not going to judge Trump. And the second thing is, I believe like you do about Jeff Sessions. You know, I've been hoping against hope, praying for the man that, you know, somewhere silently he's doing something about this. I'd like to hear your comments on both of those. But please remind these so-called Christians that, man, it's time to fight. You know, and then God always puts a man in the gap. He may not always be the man they want, but he's the man that God wants, and that's what matters. That's all I got. I'd like to hear what you got to say about it, Sandy.
Okay,
you have a
Jim,
great
thank
weekend here.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you so much. In regard to the first, I have addressed this before, but I'll address it again because Mark from Virginia, he probably needs to hear me say this too. Well, not that it'll convince him, but in fact, I should say, let me read the last part. He says, you have aligned yourself with a bunch of criminals without any moral compass. What does that say about you and your Christian values? You have sold them out when you threw your support behind the most compromised and corrupt president in modern history. Well, first of all, I don't believe that last part is true, Mark, that he's the most compromised and corrupt. I don't think so, but I'm not going to stop to... I want to make the point that Jim has just asked me about. There is a... The Bible, as speaking as a Christian, since this is how the challenge came to me from you too about being a hypocrite, there is a different set of evaluations for people who are not members of the body of Christ and people who are. When Christians are evaluating each other, trying to decide about leadership in the church, whether that's deacons or elders or a pastor himself or staff, or Sunday school teachers for that matter, or the church organist. We have a set of standards that are immutable. And they have our standards about holiness and holy living and conduct, morality. And that's one thing where our Catholic brothers and sisters could learn from us on that, because they are not as careful. I think they need to recommit to holy living and for their own people for holy living. But I'm digressing because we do bring people to account for the most part in our churches. But there is a separate sphere, and that is government and the powers, the authorities that govern us. And that's kind of laid out in Romans 13. The stipulation for people that lead us is not the test of a Sunday school teacher or pastor. They're overseers. And God, according to the scripture, God gives them the authority, even though they may not be people who even know him personally. He grants them. He assigns authority to keep order. You see, God is a God of order. We saw that right away when Moses was trying to lead the people of Israel out of the wilderness, and it was chaotic. And so they encouraged to divide up the responsibilities. They set up a system so Moses wouldn't have to try to solve every problem. Our God is a God of order. We said that in the creation of the universe, he ordered the stars and the moon. He ordered the circling of the planets. He ordered the days and the times and the seasons. He is a God of order, and he does the same thing in terms of the way people, I'm not saying he handpicks every person in every tribe and every nation. I'm not claiming that, but I'm saying that God's plan for man is that there be order of some sort. God ordains that plan and that order. And in the function of that, people who serve in those positions are not necessarily, again, going to ever be Sunday school teachers or pastors of a church. And that's the way I view government officials. In the case of Bill Clinton, because I always get challenged on that, I am not a Bill Clinton fan or Hillary. I think their behavior is appalling. And I think President Trump's behavior as a billionaire playboy was appalling. I agree with that, but I do make some distinctions. With the Clintons, it's the corruption. It is more than sexual. The corruption is, you know, financial. It's what I described in Haiti. It's the uranium, taking America's uranium supplies and selling it to the Russians, 20% of it. I could rattle off like dozens of things that are immoral. And the big distinction in the case of Bill Clinton is that Bill claimed to be a Christian. He used to carry this huge Bible in and out of churches on Sunday mornings, and that's the big thing. So if he is a brother in Christ, then the standards that I described to you in the first part here do apply to him. And that was why his sexual misconduct, and of course his sexual misconduct took place while he was in office, not 10 years earlier. I think people can change. That's the other factor here. So I don't know if that answers the question. I'm going to save the session's question because I'm running out. I've talked myself to the end of the show, and now I can't take all your phone calls. I apologize for that because I want to have more time with you. But we are living in dangerous days, and we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In the matter of President Trump right now, there is no question that the jackals, the long knives are out. You can see them salivating. They just think they're going to destroy him and his family. And they won't stop with just a hand slap. It will be total destruction in every way. That's what they want. And so some of us just rise up naturally to defend. We can't stand that. Also, we understand that the attacks against him are not just, it's not just about him. It's about a way of life. It's about our country and our values. And we will fight back. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.